Maybe you've heard this one. Why do bagpipers walk when they play? To get away from the noise. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and this week we're looking at triggers in music. To some people, bagpipes are painful to listen to. I personally don't mind them if they're far away, which might be the way they were intended to be heard anyways. But the droning sound is annoying to a lot of people, the way chalk on a chalkboard is to other people. Misophonia is a syndrome that's only recently been researched. It's an acute sensitivity to certain sounds. People with this might experience annoyance, anger, or even an urge to flee. In the case of bagpipes, which I mentioned in the opening, my dislike is mostly to the volume. When the bagpipes are close, I want to hold my ears. This isn't misophonia. Misophonia isn't about volume. Misophonia is about triggers that are debilitating sometimes. When people with misophonia detect one of these stimuli, they often can't ignore the sound. They can't concentrate on a conversation they're having or a book they're reading. Their nervous system amplifies the stimulus, and they often can't function normally as long as the sound persists. My earliest cello teacher was Lois Barber, and she became friends with my mother. And once they were driving to a concert together, and my mother put on the classical radio station, Lois asked to turn it off because she said it was like another conversation and she couldn't concentrate on anything else. This isn't misophonia either. Misophonia is unpleasant. It's not the same as music that demands the foreground in our collage of hearing. Last week we talked about the auditory complex and how it chooses the four-stream timbre and is often music. Many of us have trained our auditory complex to default to music as a result of the thousands of hours we devoted to studying music. If you spend the bulk of your time listening to music with purpose, you will actually have a harder time turning down the music at other times. Let's look back at a time when we were all more active listeners because passive listening has become more and more prevalent. When we go to a concert, we are active listeners. You don't generally stare at your phone in Heinz Hall when you're watching the Pittsburgh Symphony play Firebird, or when you're at the Benedum Theater to watch The Piano Guys, or CLO's West Side Story, or the PNC Broadway series. You're giving your full attention to the performance. When was it that passive listening started creeping into our culture? Commercials. Radio and TV commercials. We tended to start ignoring the music. Some people say that with the invention of the Sony Walkman, passive listening to music began overtaking active listening. So there has become a divide in the world. People that primarily tune out music or are more adept at tuning out music, and people like trained musicians that have difficulty tuning it out. Maybe you can tune out certain kinds of music. I wish I could tune out certain kinds of music. I sometimes dislike certain types. I might even say I have an adverse reaction. It causes me a touch of annoyance. This isn't anywhere near the reaction some people have to specific sounds that has only recently been recognized. Oftentimes, these are everyday sounds and more often body sounds, and it's been classified as a sensitivity syndrome. Misophonia has been called sound rage. Sounds that elicit intense emotions. The term was invented in 2002. Before that, it was sometimes called 4S, meaning the four words that begin with S describing the intolerance. Selective Sound Sensitivity Syndrome. Another acronym is CARD. conditioned aversive response disorder. Volume is not a trigger for CARD, 4S, or misophonia, all of which are the same thing we're talking about. But to a person with the syndrome, certain sounds seem louder than they are. It's a disorder because the hearing is amplifying the sound, so the individual is incapacitated to some degree. Are there milder forms of misophonia? Maybe. I had a student who experienced certain keys as pleasant or unpleasant. She liked D major, I remember that, and probably related keys like G major and A major. But when it came to some keys, maybe G flat, she got an unpleasant taste in her mouth, and it was distracting to the point that she couldn't play well in that key. She played spectacularly the proper Hungarian Rhapsody because it was centered in a key she liked. Her intonation was spot on. I remember her previous teacher made a volume of exercises in various keys. And this student, she presented the book to me and played some of the exercises. And when we got to the keys of G-flat, A-flat, and E-flat, she declined, saying those keys were unpleasant to her. People with misophonia have higher amounts of myelin. Myelin is a fatty substance in our brain cells, and it's like insulation on electric wires. A study in 2021 found that the jaw, the mouth, and the lips were common focus points for people suffering from misophonia. That part of the brain representing those areas got activated when there were trigger sounds. So misophonia is actually an overactivation of a neuron system involved in this area. It wasn't until 2022 that scientists created a consensus on the definition of misophonia. It's not a fear of loud sounds. It's not clinical anxiety. It's not bipolar or obsessive compulsive. But it's somewhere in the cracks. It's mistaken for some of these much of the time. It's not a hearing disorder. It's not a psychiatric disorder. In 2022, they decided it was its own disorder, not the symptom of another disorder. But what is the disorder? Therein lies the problem. It's hard to pin down. The closest explanation or classification, it's a sound / emotion synesthesia, and it parallels some anxiety disorders. So for people suffering from this elusive disorder, how do they handle it? What's the therapy, the treatment, coping strategy, or medication? Well, some of the best treatments seem to mimic other known treatments, like tinnitus, the ringing of the ears. It helps decrease the awareness of the sounds triggering the symptoms. So here's a surprising revelation. They found that Inderol, or propranolol, but I like to say Inderol because it's easier to say, they found that Inderol was effective. Inderol is a beta blocker that they use for high blood pressure. It's also been used for stress. People use it for migraines. Public speakers and performers have been known to take Inderol before an event. Of late, we've been hearing about autonomous sensory meridian response, or ASMR. People with this symptom experience a tingling of the scalp in response to certain sounds. Some people differentiate misophonia from ASMR, saying they experience both. Misophonia is unpleasant, and ASMR is just a tingling, maybe not as debilitating. So it's common for people with misophonia to also experience ASMR. They just get them at different times in response to different stimuli. They're not opposites, but for some people, ASMR is pleasant, and misophonia is unpleasant. ASMR has been described as initiating a state of flow or deep relaxation. So is ASMR a subset of misophonia or the other way around? Both have been discovered to be rooted in biology, not psychology. Both are reactions to triggers, usually sounds that change your mood, your heart rate, and your breathing. One key difference is misophonia triggers, they're interoceptive, meaning the triggers are usually body noises and a process in the insular cortex in our brain. Remember the myelin, the insulating fat around the nerves. It seems to fire up strong emotions, and oftentimes it's disgust or rage. And for some people, bagpipes can do this. The 2022 film Tar depicts a conductor played by Cate Blanchett with misophonia. In the film, Lydia Tar experiences increasing sensitivity to sound that lead to nightmares and daytime hallucinations. I never saw the film, and my colleagues' reactions are mixed, and I suspect it's because the portrayal of a musician as exotic on the verge of crazy is a little bit beyond the truth, but at the same time, not so far from it. The idea of a professional musician suffering from misophonia seems unlikely, except for maybe it does occur later in life, we don't know. But again, like my student who had a distaste for certain keys, I'm guessing here, that intense attention to music all your life, doesn't it seem like the syndrome would appear in some fashion earlier than later? I don't know. Maybe this is me just hoping. I don't want to develop triggers to music or sound. So much of my life has been surrounded by the beauty of music. But it's important to recognize this syndrome. It's only recently been acknowledged. In 2020, it received the LG Nobel Prize in Medicine. The LG Nobel Prize isn't a Nobel Prize, but it does create awareness, and in the case of misophonia, it is recognizing a long misdiagnosed medical condition. One of the first documentaries on this disorder was Quiet Please. And there are now online support groups for people who think they suffer from misophonia or ASMR. Last night, I got to enjoy some live music at Grill 535 in Bellevue. Stephen Vance invited me to hear him play with his old duo partner, Mark Burnell. So Mark on piano, Anne on vocals, and Stephen on violin. They packed the speakeasy in the basement of Grill 535. There were musicians from CMU and classmates from Ambridge High. It's the first time I've been to the venue, even though I live in neighboring Westview. Maybe you'll get out to see some live music this week. The Diamante Trio performs live at the Monroeville Library this week. We're on the lawn, and we're joined by Stephen Weiss, violist, and of course our Brazilian songstress, Lily Abreu. Bring a chair and a beverage. Hope to see you there on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.